Here we go. Rolling sound. Quiet.
It's not complicated. Call it creative. Call it art. Call it design. It's the Design Coach on Lake 96.1, sponsored by Bob's Floor Covering and Stone Leaf Remodeling.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I am excited.
Why?
Because today is the last, well, today's July 1st.
I know.
Yeah, it's my daughter's birthday.
But listen, here's the you say this like this is a good thing.
It is.
Like you're saying
so
like it's a
close.
Good thing. No, so close to 4th of July?
She's celebrating America's birthday.
Yeah, I get that. No, excited about that, right?
Yeah.
Right. And thank you, by the way, to everyone who served. This is kind of, you know, this is the time of year, like, listen, nobody does summer like the Geneva Lakes area, mm-hmm. correct?
Right.
I mean, no, nobody's summer's hard to find a region of the country that summer's better than we do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But I will tell you, it also means that, like, the summer's almost half over.
Don't go there.
No, but here's the thing. You realize what happens, like, August 15th, like, by the time Labor Day hits, it, you know, so in a way, I'm a little like, okay, yeah, you know, it's building to the anticipation of 4th of July, but at the same time, a little bit of a, I'm going to try not to talk about the...
Thank goodness.
Well, you enter the dog days of summer after that. I mean, you know, listen, you know the 90s are here already and they're coming and they're going to stay.
Yep.
We were very spoiled earlier in the week with some nice 70 degree weather.
We were.
Even if it accompanied a little bit of rain, it didn't really matter. It was nice and it was cool.
Mm-hmm.
It was comfortable. So, I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
It's warm.
All right. So, listen, on today's show... I keep talking every week about that I want people and I want to encourage people with both, you know, my business and our shop and my blog and my website and this radio program. I want to encourage people to take more risk in their interior design than they would normally take, provided that it shows personality. Right. Like my big thing is I want your interiors to be intensely personal. I do not want them to feel staged. I do not want them to feel cookie cutter. I don't want you copying other design styles. Right.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want you copying rooms. I want you to develop your own design style / signature and tell your story with your space. This is, in a nutshell, that sound about right?
It does. Can I get inspiration from looking at something? But
no,
then
you can.
Right.
But I guess I'm focused today specifically on one thing that keeps coming up in this radio program. And that one thing that keeps coming up is my conversation and my, me telling you to take more risk. So today, I really wanted to take into account what I mean by that. Okay, that's great, Philip. I think it's awesome that you want us to be, you know, a little bit more risky with our design and take more chances. But can you quantify that for us? I mean, I guess I'm asking this as the audience question, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that all sounds great, but what do you mean by that? What is that? What are you talking about? Risk? How much risk? When? Where? How much is too much? When do I know I'm out on a design limb? And honestly, when are you okay with that? And when are you not?
And when is there no, like, a point where there's no return?
Right?
Sometimes
this
in my
is
case,
what
I'm like,
saying.
Oh,
what I'm
no.
saying is I feel like oftentimes, because it's only a 1 hour show.
Yeah.
Right? Which there's my plug to try to go to 2 hours. It's just not going to happen, but I'm going to say it anyway. I could expound on all of these thoughts, but because I have an hour and this show is more of a sprint than a marathon, which is true, it's a little bit more of an informational sprint, that I kind of want to really dive in to this conversation about risk. And what do I mean when I say that? Because it really is at the heart and soul of the Design Coach, not only our company, but what I'm trying to achieve creatively is that you can do risk without having it be ridiculous. You can do risk and you can be risky and be appropriate, which I know that those two concepts are sometimes diametrically opposed to one another. However, I'm going to explain to you today where they link, how they link. What are the strategies for being just risky enough to be interesting? Because isn't that the case? Isn't somebody who's taken a chance, taken a risk, done something different? You know, God forbid I say thought outside the box. I hate that term, but I'm going to use it anyway, right? Someone who's thought on a different wavelength. Don't we all aspire to kind of have the courage and the ability to kind of do that. It's what we like about music and the expression of music. It's what we like about the arts. And in a way, you know that I liken design to just a physical manifestation of our playing out our performance art through interior design. It's like our wardrobe. Right. We say something about who we are with what we wear. We say something about who we are with the way we design. And so when does risk when is risk good and when is it really bad? And I've got two actual blogs that I want to share with everyone today that I'm really excited to frame this discussion. And one is from refinery29.uk. Okay, refinery29.uk. And I love the name of this blog. It's from March of this year. Jess Commons is the author of this particular blog from refinery29.uk. And it says, these interior design disasters that are so bad, they're almost good.
Really?
And it's specifically geared towards risk in interior design and some of the crazy risks some of these people have taken in their interiors where maybe they've taken it too far. And it illustrates some of the points that I want to make on today's show, which is when are you really, you know, when have you really strayed, right, off the path and sort of given into either a trend or a risk or a design direction where maybe you've taken it too far? On the other side of the coin, I've got a really great blog from the News and Observer. So that's newsobserver.com. And it's from their living section. And it really talks about specifically, sometimes it's okay to take design risks. Well, I say all of the time. I think it's about where, how much, how far. But these are seven risks worth taking. And so I have both the outrageous end of the spectrum, and then I have from this particular blog, seven worth taking. And I want to comment on those today to sort of give people an example of, you know, when I say I don't want your interiors to be, well, forgettable, what do I mean by that? And what do I mean with this infusion of risk into your interiors? What am I talking about? Where are the opportunities to do that? Maybe one of the rooms to do that. And if I feel like if you do it well enough and you do it thoughtfully enough, that the one thing risk does do is if you've done it and been true to yourself, it gives your spaces instant personality. Listen, you have your trees that you decorate year round.
I do.
Thanks, Miss Tree. I'm sure there's a Halloween bush.
There's a Fourth of July tree.
I'm sure that there's, and it could be the same tree. It could be multiple trees. But that's a risk you take by sort of this little performance piece that you have in your home that's decorative.
Mm-hmm.
And it says something about you. And the people who love you and know you know that little weird thing about you.
They put up with it.
No, but in a way, way, it's kind of like knowing everybody's kind of weird little risks and quirks that kind of endears you to your friends, to your family. Like no one knows you the way that we know you. So it's a lot of those things that I want people to be encouraged to find a way to bring into their interiors. And even though, you know, it's a tree, right? I mean, really, what's your jeopardy? There are ways to also bring in great design style and personality in the form of these really appropriate risks that you can take. And we're going to outline those for you on today's show. Let's start here. Ever since I started my company almost 20 years, I can't believe that. I say it and it doesn't really seem totally real. But I will tell you, over 20 years, I have made a living trying to, well, I don't want to say convince, encourage people to take their interiors kind of to the next level through different types of artistic thought. Not necessarily design thought, because I've broken a few design rules along the way. I have definitely created types of installations that are not out there that I to this day, one of the things I'm the most proud of is the fact that a lot of our designs, even 20 years, 15 years ago, have still stood the test of time because I didn't make them very trendy. And there's a way to do risk without giving into a trend. And we'll talk about that on today's show. But the way I would like to frame our discussion, and when we come back from the break, we're going to dig into these risks. When are they worth taking? When are they not worth taking? And what are some of the horrible ones I've seen? And what are the best places to do that? But I wanted to frame it in such a way to say, if you start looking at your spaces like individual rooms, you know, last week we talked about the dream home concept, where it's not about necessarily you wanting your dream home, but maybe we can focus on creating dream rooms and maybe if you make enough dream rooms in your home now, maybe it gets your current home closer to your dream home. Within every room, there are opportunities to take risks that can absolutely change the complexion, the interest level, and the joy that you experience every day in your surroundings. And that's what we're going to talk about on today's show, is when to risk and when not to. Stay with us. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1.
The Design Coach is back on Lake 96.1, sponsored by Stoneleaf Remodeling.
Welcome back. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1 with your host, Philip Sassano. And we're talking about risk and interior design. And when I mean take risk in your interiors, what do I mean? And what am I talking about? And I don't feel like on past shows, maybe I've really given that concept. Maybe it's due. And that's, I think, where we're at today. And to illustrate my point, I'm referencing two blogs. One from refinery29.uk. And it's funny because the hashtag on this is hilarious.
Which is what?
Please hate these things. It was awesome.
Good.
That's kind of how I found it. The hashtag was please hate these
please
things.
Please hate these things.
And these were design risks that people had taken that are, again, I'm gonna preface it by saying they are the extreme. But they do illustrate ways where maybe you've taken it too far. And then on the other side of the coin, I've got a blog from the News Observer that talks about seven risks worth taking in interior design as a way to frame sort of, you know, the side of the coin that I'm maybe referencing, which is where do I take the risk? When do I take it? And how do I muster up the creative courage to maybe, you know, have your interiors reach their most and their greatest potential? How do we do that? And, and again, you know, you've heard me talk about the fact that in this big makeover mentality, we tend to sort of save up our passion, our money, our energy, our effort for the big makeover moments in our lives, while missing many opportunities on a daily basis to just improve our corner of the universe, to be able to move our interiors along. The problem is that sometimes we get so bogged down with the totality of the makeover that we forget to really identify that not all walls are created equally, that some rooms can allow you a greater opportunity for risk than others, and that how do you define risk as it relates to your tolerance for it, right? Because listen, there are people who, you know, there are certain colors you're never going to use just because you don't like them. Right. And that doesn't mean that then using that color makes you risky. This is about finding the best opportunities within a space and doing something different and doing something original. And, you know, listen, you've heard me talk about the fact that the most popular flavor of ice cream is vanilla and chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm trying to break people from that design metaphor, that I'm trying to get them to do something completely original. And I think that the digital feeds help us do that. The problem is that we find something in the digital feeds we like, and then what do? We copy.
Try to copy that. Exactly.
We copy.
Yes.
And that's not original either.
Right.
Okay, guys. So that's not being true to yourself either. That is identifying a style that you think you attach to with your personality, and then thinking to yourself, it's like an automobile. There's only so many automobiles that you can drive. Right?
Right.
And then you identify with a certain type of automobile, so you think that's what you should be driving. I want you to get out of that mindset, because this is a blank canvas. Your home is a blank canvas. It can be whatever you want it to be. And rather than lock into a style, maybe your digital feeds give you a direction, but then maybe you find your own ways to infuse personality and risk into it. This first blog from the UK, Refinery 29, it's exactly, this is not what I want you doing.
Okay.
I have to show you this.
Not.
Now, listen, if you're not following along with your iPad, I have to be honest with you. You're just going to have to bear with us and look it up later. But this is the first one. Look at this.
What in the world is happening?
Yes, you know what this looks like? This absolutely looks like Chewbacca's bedroom, right?
It does.
Okay, the curtains.
Yeah, it does.
Okay, so this is a room that's completely white, and about 8 feet, there's curtains, sheer curtains that basically run. It looks like they run all the way around the room, and then even worse, full shag carpet. And not only runs the entire length of the bedroom, but then in some weird, it actually, envision this, right, guys? You have your bed. Imagine the carpeting coming up and tucking underneath the mattress.
I mean, it looks like it needs to be baled.
Here's what it says. The curtains on the wall say operating theater, while the furry carpeting screams Muppet Massacre.
It does that, for sure.
This is where your love of faux fur, right? Probably needs to be controlled.
And I love faux fur.
Let me give you a couple of examples, right? If you don't like, here's, I'm going to try to do a little CSI intent here, okay? I don't know why there's all this faux fur on the carpeting, but here's what I can tell you. Textures like fur, textures that are strong in personality and in risk, need to be tailored or controlled or they look like this, right? They're called things like Muppet mm-hmm. Massacre. So if you like faux fur, especially you've been seeing lately, you've been seeing chairs. Remember yes. the desk chair that we saw that was in faux fur that you kind of liked?
Absolutely.
You saw that at Home Goods and loved it. Like right away you wanted to throw it in your trunk?
Yes.
That's
still mad.
That's
I didn't.
Probably the perfect example of the way to sort of bring that type of very strong, risky type of purchase into your interior is to do it in an edited and controlled way. This is an example of where they've just bludgeoned to the floor with this faux fur. Better for them to have shrunk that carpet down where the faux rug is maybe right underneath the bed and used pillows on the bed as a way to sort of enhance the look and bring it into another area. Remember, risk needs to be justified in some way, meaning if you're going to bring in a strong pattern like a faux fur, one of the best ways that you can make it make sense, quote unquote, in your interior is to justify it somewhere else in the room. So if you found faux fur pillows onto the bedroom set, way better, way more edited. You've still gotten your fix of the mm-hmm. faux fur, but what you haven't done is pretended like it's growing like a chia floor.
Exactly.
Okay, all over right. your bedroom floor.
So overpowering.
Like, so the first recommendation that I would make based on using these blogs is, and I love, I listen, there are some in here that are, they're just famous. So if you have a chance to follow along later, please do. But I'm going to tell you, strong pattern, strong fabrics like faux fur with a lot of personality. This even goes for leather, because leather can be kind of a heavier, masculine, dominating kind of feel. Percentages. Justification. That's where I want your head at.
Okay.
You can bring in the risk. Don't shy away from it. Okay? But if you decide to double down on pink faux fur, then you even need to control it even more. Does that make sense to you?
Mm-hmm.
It's
does.
Where, it's where I see people sort of give in to something completely that I think that they miss. Next on this list... is this wallpaper. Okay, this is an example of, see how they've wallpapered every single surface?
Oh, wow. That gives you a headache, doesn't it?
It does give you a headache.
Yeah.
So what they've basically done, and then this is, I love the fact that the hashtag is please hate these things. This is definitely wallpaper that looks like, you remember in Willy Wonka where they go into that small little hallway and you can lick the wallpaper?
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember that
mm-hmm.
scene? Okay. And it's this floral and it's got berries on it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what this looks like. Super busy, very active wallpaper. Here's what I'm going to tell you about wallpaper in small spaces. Pick your swatches, pick your canvases. Here's what I mean by that. If you're in a small space that's got a lot of, well, this has a lot of moving planes. There's a niche for this, looks like a bench. Then they've papered underneath the toilet. Then they've papered right by the medicine cabinet. And then they've papered up on the walls all the way around. That pattern can get really active. So it might look great on the small swatch. And what keeps people hesitant about wallpaper is the activity. They're worried it's going to be too much. If you're worried about it being too much, I'm going to tell you, you have one surefire way to bring in risk into your space where you can kind of try it on, and that's the ceiling. If you bring an active pattern onto the ceiling above and you really love this paper, but you can't maybe live with it everywhere, one of the ways to introduce risk, but without really jumping in with both feet, is rather than paper the entire room, paper the canvases where you know you can get interest, but they're not necessarily going to be something you're staring at. And the ceiling in a small bathroom, because this is a bathroom that's pictured, is one of the greatest ways to introduce risk into your space without really having to, again, with dive in with both feet or jump right in. Listen, there are lots of wallpapers that I think people see that they like. And you know what the first question is that they ask themselves? Well, where would I put that?
They went like, where would I put that? I don't know. I don't care. I think not. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to take a chance. So I'm just going to paint the bathroom gray.
No, listen. Paint it gray. Paint it gray. But then that metallic paper that you really like that you're not, mm-hmm. you don't feel like you're gutsy enough to use it on the wall because you're afraid it's going to go too Liberace, okay? And it's going to go Vegas on mm-hmm. you? Guess what? Use it on the ceiling. Use it on
shouldn't
the ceiling.
Shouldn't we be concerned about if it makes the room too small or closed in?
See, that's the big myth,
or not.
Right?
That's what I'm at.
So
yeah,
this to me is always the big myth. Like,
from my professional perspective, I really think that, you know, painting the ceiling with the color is going to make the room seem small.
Listen, the room is already small. Like, I can't make an 8x8 room any bigger than it is. And the myth of, like, well, I'm going to paint it white so that the ceiling's... No, it's still a small room. Mm-hmm. Here's the thing. In a bathroom, how long are you in there? Let's be really honest.
Well, it depends on your teenage girl.
I'm just saying. Or... but especially a powder room. Yes. With no shower, no whatever. Right. These are those rooms where you can take a lot of risk and you can take a chance. Mm-hmm. And I'll give you an example about how to justify a crazy paper on a ceiling. If, for instance, you fall in love with this particular paper, but you're afraid to use it on the wall, try using it on a ceiling. Let's just say it's blue and navy stripe. Maybe the vanity becomes navy blue. Okay, maybe the stripe in the metallic is a gold or an antique gold or a silver. Use it in the lighting. Use it in the hardware. Take and use the wallpaper as the inspiration to try to find and put color in other things.
Gorgeous, yeah.
It'll allow you to create a very dynamic, very signature-looking interior, but it's a way where when you start to experiment with putting a little bit of risk on small canvases, how much confidence you gain in using it in other ways. Listen, when we come back from the break, we're going to explore more of these, please hate these things, design mistakes where people have just gone overboard with risk and with trends. And then on the other side of that, we're going to talk about, well, what are the seven risks maybe you should be taking? Stay with us. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1.
The Design Coach is back on Lake 96.1, sponsored by Bob's Floor Covering, tile, stone, laminate, vinyl, and more.
Welcome back. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1 with your host, Philip Sassano. Am I framing this discussion about risk in design?
Yeah, I really like the idea with the wallpaper. If you do like wallpaper, put it on the ceiling.
Well, because it's not... But here's the thing. It just doesn't apply to wallpaper. You know what else it applies to? Fabric that you see that you like in a pattern that you're drawn to. Because a lot of times fabric, you know, you'll look at a fabric and you're like, oh, I love that. And then the first instinct you have is to say... I
don't have a place for it.
I don't know where I would use it.
Right.
Right? I feel like I'm going to have a lot of voices on today's show. So I might bust out this one later. I don't know what... I don't know, but stay tuned.
Got a lot of voices.
I'm just saying, this is my safe voice. The voice that like, doesn't want to really do anything. It's outside the ordinary. I have my Pinterest board, and I'm going to just mimic my Pinterest board. And just look at my health account.
You know what I'm saying? I don't want you copying.
I do.
I don't want you doing that. What I want you doing is I want you to try to... Listen, guys, the world of interior design is filled with too many great artists and too many great textile designers and too many great creatives for you to play it safe. There, I've said it. It's just filled with too many great, genius, creative people for you to play it safe, which is why I'm such a huge advocate for risk in design. It adds personality. It allows you to really decide. You know what it does? It gives your home transmission. Maybe you want to really rev it up and run room, but you really want another room to be calm. Well, if they're all calm, then they're all boring. This is the problem with the open floor plan. Mm-hmm. The problem with the open floor plan is that every room bleeds into every other room. So where are you really able to take risk? Table that. We'll get to that in a minute. Let's talk scale. Okay, a few punches down on this refinery29.uk blog. Please hate these things. Which of these over-the-top design risks are when chandeliers and lighting are just so over-the-top that they dominate the room.
That is very dominating.
Here's risk gone wrong.
Yeah.
Risk gone wrong oftentimes has to do with scale. And I'm not just talking about lighting, but I'm talking about scale of furniture. If you've dove headfirst into putting, and listen, everybody's done this, guys, myself included, when you've had a sofa that's too big for a room, but you used it anyway.
Right.
Because you kind of had it.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
And here's what ends up happening. It not only does it suck the oxygen visually out of the room, it sucks the oxygen out of the room functionally. And then you wonder why it's not working. But you can't part with that particular item. This is where thoughtful design on scale really matters. So be risky with your lighting in the style of the lighting, but watch the size and scale. The one that they show here in this kitchen, this fixture looks like it should be in a ballroom in Austria.
I was going to say, that is in the kitchen?
Well, it's in a kitchen over the island. And here's what happens. This particular fixture dwarfs the island, which, listen, if you want to create a Versace or Versailles style, really ornate kitchen, great. Scale still matters, guys. Scale still matters. And this island could have benefited from the same style of fixture, maybe like 24 inches smaller. Okay? So when I'm talking about risk, one of the rules to risk is definitely make sure that it's in the design and not the size. The size of something can wreck your risk play if you're not careful. Scale matters. Another one on this list is this is crazy. People build rooms of all shapes and sizes, and far be it from me to listen. Again, sometimes in my mind, the crazier the better, and I have to sort of applaud, even if the risk is horrible, I still have to applaud maybe the fact that someone took the time to do this. But look right. at this. This is an indoor pool with faux green grass. Like it's, a putting green.
Yeah.
All the way around it.
Mm-hmm.
And the one thing that they've done is they put that lattice, so exterior lattice work, they've put it on the wall with a really funky mid-century modern Rod Sterling kind of deal. And they call it sort of a mid-century LSD trip. It's something really out of a dreamscape.
It really is.
It really is. Now,
it's
I don't
kind
know.
Kind of fun, though.
But here's that the thing. I don't know if this is a function of someone did this current. Like, I don't know if this is a current room. Like, if this room was done in the 60s and 70s, it probably had a design application. But still, even then, it's an example of giving in too far to a trend.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's still kind of over the top.
So if you took one thing out of that room, what would it be?
Okay, I would take out. I can't because they're equal. They're equal opportunity design offenders. Seriously, if I had to book them, if I had to book and charge them both, I would. The lattice is not good.
The lattice is out of there.
The lattice is not good. Okay, and the faux green grass. If you took both of those out of there, you probably might end up with something that was kind of interesting and mid-century modern.
Right.
The problem is that the lattice takes it to a completely weird level.
It does.
Like, almost like it's a three-season room, which, listen, it may be. I haven't seen the other two walls. I doubt it, though. And the faux green grass.
I doubt it, too.
But the faux green grass is just, it's just obnoxious. And I don't even know what in what century, mid or not, I don't know in what century that was ever appropriate for indoors. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So, convicted and guilty of charge. Okay, here's one of the weirder ones. I wanted to mention this to you. Look at this.
What is
this?
That?
Cannot be a real room.
What is? Oh,
it's well,
a
it's a bedroom.
It's a bedroom. I keep
on an island.
At it.
Okay, it's a bedroom on an island with a bridge going over to it. So imagine a bed, a platform bed on a stage with a bridge going over to it, and surrounded is the pool.
Imagine having a few glasses of wine and then going to bed.
Are you kidding me? You're going to roll off and then splash and
yeah.
forget it. This to me almost seems so staged.
Yeah.
But either
it
way.
It seems functional.
But here's the way. Here's the lesson, though. And again, you know me. There's a lesson in every. There's something to be gleaned from everything. A good design decision and a bad design decision. In this bad design decision, it's the fact that they've completely mispurposed what that could be. Let me give you an example of what that island could be rather than a bedroom, which just seems silly.
It's weird, yeah.
You know what it could be where it could be very cool? If that in the middle was a martini grouping.
Yes.
Where you had four swivel chairs where you could swivel and enjoy and talk to people in the pool.
Right.
And then swivel back to the main grouping. And if it was four martini chairs, even if it was with an indoor-outdoor chandelier lantern hanging above it, now you've got me. Now you've got this platform in the middle of this pool, in this indoor pool room, mm-hmm. that says, oh, they've accounted for some seating groupings where I could kind of have some wine. Right?
Exactly.
But not necessarily fall asleep in the middle of the pool.
Right.
It seems appropriate. So it's amazing how sometimes the furnishings can justify a build element like this. But when you make it a bedroom, it just seems really silly.
Really does.
This one's really kind of troubling. And before we go to the next topic, I'm going to leave you with this really bad one. Have you seen the double commode, like the double toilet?
I think I have. What do you mean?
Is anyone in your universe doing this?
Oh no, I haven't seen that one.
And the tagline is:
who are you? Gonna be
listen, they don't even go into detail. You know what they say? Absolutely not.
No,
that's literally.
So,
that,
just saying
that is, this is a design crime. I don't know who came up with this.
Have you? Ever?
I'm hoping it's not Kohler. But here's what I'm saying: it's basically two toilets. So if you can envision the seats in like an international flight, you know mm-hmm. where they do the seats where they're kind of. Pods.
Right.
Well, these are two toilets connected in the middle with a I'm going to call it a community tank, and two seats where you can literally face your partner, that's who's weird. Also then engaging in the same bathroom activity as you.
Yes.
It's basically a double toilet. Not side by side, but so you can converse. That may be the most disgusting thing I've ever seen.
It is.
Okay?
Nasty.
It's not a trend.
Thank goodness.
It's a risk. I mean, it's a risk, a design risk. But to me, it just seems like one of those things where just because something comes across your radar, that is new and hot and exciting, you have to beware of how sometimes the risk that you take is going to play long term. This is one of those, in the fact that it's a fixture where you're going to plumb for a single stack. You're going to design an entire bathroom around this kind of element. These are the things that I kind of want to bring to people's attention, that you have to be very careful that the element that you're bringing in, especially a double toilet or something, you know, listen, sometimes something as simple as these center islands that are also very popular, right, where it leaves you room for cabinetry around the perimeter, mm-hmm. but they do an island in the middle where your sink is in the middle. You have to think about how that's going to play long term, right? You have to think about sometimes the resale value of some of those things, especially right. if you're sort of, you know, if you're into sort of remodeling homes and then flipping them, you know, this is definitely not going to be one of the ways to bring in risk into your space. Okay. So beware of the new gadgets that come across, and they're great to talk about, and they may be for some people. I don't know who's using this, but I don't really want to know them ever. In fact, if I was invited to a party and I walked into their, like, accidentally caught a glimpse of their, like, oh, let me show you the house and take a look in our bathroom. Like, I mean, I would have to put my drink down.
It's awful.
On the nearest surface, and I would have to escort myself out of the home.
Run as fast as you can.
And listen, don't write me and tell me that you have one and that it makes you more connected. Okay, don't tell me that, because I'm not buying it. There's a porch swing. Okay? Where neither of you are in the bathroom facing each other on a toilet. Anyway, I'm going to leave you with that at the break. You're listening to The Design Coach, and we're talking about risk in interior design. What to do and what not to do. Stay with us.
Welcome back to The Design Coach on Lake 96.1.
Isn't that's gross?
It just
That's just
is.
Weird.
I was going to ask
It's almost
you.
A disturbing design element. There's not many of those.
Oh, it's horrible.
But that's one of them.
Who would use that?
No pun intended. That's going to take me a while to flush out of my head. Anyway, you're listening to The Design Coach, and we're talking about risk in interior design, and what in the world do I mean by that? And so for the first three segments, we've been covering and using illustrations from refinery29.uk and these really bad design elements that people have brought in and sort of made them, you know, illustrated exactly kind of what we want you to do and maybe how that trend could have been more tailored or maybe not been used at all.
Mm-hmm.
Well, with this last segment, and I can't believe we're on the last segment, but I wanted to talk about this particular blog that I thought was really good from the newsobserver.com. From their living section, it was written by Rima Nasser. I think it's Rima, maybe Rima Nasser. And this is from 2018 also. And basically what it says is this: sometimes it's okay to take design risks. Here are seven worth taking. And this actually gave you a really good, quick seven-step kind of primer for risks that you could be taking. I'm going to kind of add to these as I go through the course of this segment. But these are great to, again, to sort of lay the foundation for kind of what I'm talking about when I say take risk. Do something different within your comfort zone. And what happens is, you know, on last week's show, you asked me if there was a generational play to people being more gravitating more to color,
mm-hmm.
or design risk. And I said, no, it had to do with experience. What happens, guys, is when you try to find the small areas where you've taken a chance and it's worked, it makes you hungry to search for the next available canvas. You have more confidence to maybe find your design style, exhibit it, display it, work with it, right? Enhance it, refine it, whatever it might be. But you only get that experience through doing it and taking the chance and taking the risk. If you don't ever take the risk, you're never going to know how far you could have pushed a space. Right?
Right.
And that's kind of what we're talking about. Number one on this list from the News Observer is add architectural detail. Listen, I don't need to tell you, if you're a listener of this show, you know exactly how I feel about how easy it is for you to add interest to a space by instantly adding molding. And it's never been easier for you to walk out with that molding from your nearest hardware store. It's never been easier for you to have the ability for you to add a wainscot, a crown detail, even a coffered ceiling detail. And if you've never done it and you want to try it, you know what? Pick a room, maybe pick a guest bedroom, pick a room that maybe you're not in every day. Even pick you could pick a hallway. You know, hallways tend to be some of the forgotten rooms as they connect you from one room to the next, but they're integral in the fact that they really do great hallways and great hallway ceilings, which don't have long expanses, you know, because maybe they're only like 4 feet to 5 feet across.
Mm-hmm.
They're easy for you to add really interesting architectural beamwork.
Oh, great idea.
Perpendicular.
Yes.
Right?
Right.
To the length of the hallway.
Right.
And it's a really easy way to add a lot of interest into a space and to sort of see how you like it.
Right.
I've even seen people go as far as to cut cardboard templates and sort of place faux cardboard beams in their hallway to see whether or not they like that architectural detail. But there's a small ceiling on a small canvas where you can take a chance with an architectural detail, even a simple wainscot in a bathroom, where maybe you've wallpapered beneath or you've wallpapered above or you, whatever it is, wherever you've added this, some of this applied molding to what I call thicken your space, start small. And I think what you're going to be pleasantly surprised with is how hungry you get for it and how your appetite for more interesting items in your home begins to, well, it begins to grow. And that's when you know you're having more fun with design. See, risk in design is what makes it fun. It's what makes it personal. It's what makes it interesting. It's what makes it you. If it's not risky, then it's someone else's copy of a style that you kind of like. And I, as nice as some of these spaces are that I see in the feeds, and as beautiful as they are, aren't they all starting to blur into the sea of the rustic kitchen with white cabinets? Aren't they all starting to blur into a sea, right, of white subway tile with rustic barnwood shelving with black brackets and white cabinets? Like, isn't there, there's got to be something else out there, guys, that is more you than them, or is a little bit of a design direction you like, but twisted a little bit. It's the twisted piece, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's maybe it's the black dress with a little bit different jewelry, right?
Right.
Maybe it's the black dress with your hair different, right? Maybe it's that great suit with a tie that, little, right? Takes a little risk, right? But to my justification point, you have a pocket square that makes it all tie together. This is where I'm going. Like, throw something out there that makes people, listen, it could be polarizing, but do you care? Like, do you really care? Or maybe we all care too much. And maybe that's what really holds us back. Is that maybe we're not designing for ourselves. Maybe we're designing for what everyone else will think of us. That's the wrong way to go about it. Anyway, number two on the list is mixed patterns. You've heard me talk about that. I'm not going to dig too far into that, but mixing patterns is a really good one. And here's how. It goes back to my same conversation about making sure that you edit. I would encourage you guys to investigate with patterns and pillows and throws. Watch your pattern in rugs. Be very careful. Because the minute you start having a big rug with a lot of pattern, it will dominate the space. And then you really do have to then justify that pattern in other ways. So I like neutral rugs. I like neutral sofas, but I like accent chairs that are a little smaller that might have a punch, that might have a risky pattern. Also, huge fan of expensive, really cool couture fabrics, like really great fabrics that maybe you would never put on a big chair, but that you will try in a pillow, and use those to create a complexion of pillows and a grouping on a sofa that really looks fantastic that you can change out if you get tired of it. It's a way for you to kind of sample in lots of different ways the latest design offerings without completely buying into recovering a chair or a sofa in one pattern. Again, percentage, application, all of those things matter. Number three, number four, kind of bold artwork, kind of goes without saying. You know how big of a fan I am of making sure that you're bringing in bold artwork. But here's the thing. It's got to, please make it meaningful. And bold artwork can be something as easy as family. You know, I just did an installation of this week. I did an installation of family photos. We do these legacy walls that we talk about where you take your family photos and what's the way to display them? What's the right way to display them? Well, what we did in this instance is we said, okay, the wall's really large, so we're not going to blow up the pictures of these kids really big. Although I've seen that and I've seen that work. What we're going to do is we're going to create these great shelves, and we did it out of a reclaimed barnwood material with these great brackets. And what we did is I had my team go and take the family photos and turn them into a vintage postcard kind of look.
Oh, so
changed the colors, made them look a little bit more 1960s and vintage, like an old box camera.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had Kristen deckle the edges of them. They came out beautifully. And what they did is because all of the photos were in kind of a cohesive look, and they were all in similar style packaged frames. What we did was it made the entire wall an installation of family versus isolated photos of individual pieces of artwork. So when we talk about bold artwork, I'm not just talking about bold artwork. I'm talking about bold, interesting groupings of things. And rethink your family photo. You know, it's never really been easier to either print something, make it larger, make it smaller. You know, listen, you can go to the Hobby Lobbies of the world, the Michaels of the world, or name your craft store, or even your local framer, and you can find a reasonably priced frame that ties everything together, where if you're not finding one big piece for a big wall, think about a bold installation. Unexpected pops of color kind of go hand in hand with mixed materials, but they at number five, they sold me because they said funky wallpaper. Now, they used a phrase I don't really like.
Which is...
Listen, if any of you ever, if any of you know me, here's what I don't do. I don't splash color. I don't jazz anything up. Okay?
Let's splash something over here, and let's jazz something over here. That's not jazzy.
That's not even... What is that? To jazz something up. Can you see how hot I get about it?
Oh, yes, yeah.
Please, I don't jazz anything. Because here's the thing. It doesn't make it sound intentional. It makes it sound discretionary. Like, hey, I'm just going to jazz something.
Does, yeah.
I'm just going to splash something. You know what? Design is too impactful. And in my universe, it's too thoughtful to use terms like jazz and splash and
like
even
an afterthought.
Flip. Yeah, it just makes it seem like it's
right.
Something that I just did because.
Right.
Right? And... I think that we could be more thoughtful with our interior, mm-hmm. so I don't jazz anything up. But so I don't agree with the fact that I want to use wallpaper to jazz something. What I would rather see you do is take a great wallpaper that you love, try to find the right application for it in the percentage that you think you can handle,
mm-hmm.
and then try to find a way to use that great wallpaper to pull colors out, to pull metallics out. I mean, the metallic wallpapers that are out there will blow you away. And if you need help finding one, just go to thedesigncoach.com and reach out to us. We will connect you. 6 and 7 on this list. 6 I agree with, 7 I'm not. 6 is dark walls. Listen, if you can find a space to go a little brooding, if you can find a space to do something dark and a little sinister, try it. You'll love it. And listen, you can repaint it, right?
Right.
Here's my rule of thumb. Don't freak out after you've painted one wall. Paint the room. Because when you contrast a darker color against the color that you currently have, it's going to freak you out. I'm just letting you know now, mm-hmm. I've had many a clients, I've had to talk off the ledge because they've painted like 20% of a room and they freak out. And then I'm like, no, stay the course. We're going to get through this. I promise when I jump out of the design airplane, I will pull the ripcord and we will land safely on our design target. Stay the course. Okay. If you hate it, what's your jeopardy? Your repaint. Number 7 was soft pastels. Here's what I do agree with. Listen, I'm not a fan necessarily of pastels, but I am a fan of making sure that you modulate the color room by room so that you can really use the entire, all of the offerings that the design world gives you, that offers to you on a plate, that you can try them at different percentages and even different design styles within the same home. You know, your home is kind of your chance to, it's your own version of living performance art. Treat it that way. Have fun with it. Have confidence. And take some risk. Thank you for listening this morning. You've been listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1. You've been coached.